I'm going to invite you, as soon as you're able to, we're going to the Word of God in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 10. Verse 9. And I am beginning a short series, a two-week series today called Level Up. Amen. Can someone say level up? Level up. We're going to look at the life and the prayer of a man in the Bible named Jabez. And we're going to uncover this week and next some of the secrets to leveling up over our challenges and into an abundant life. The word of the Lord says this way in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 9. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. Amen. Why don't we pray one more time before we're seated? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit that we feel so powerfully, so real in this place today, God. Thank you, God, for meeting us at this appointed time. And I ask, Lord, that Father, as we open our hearts to your word, that you would speak to us, that it be not mere man's words, but that it would be the word of the Lord, God. You would season every word with your anointing, God, and that you would touch every heart. Help us to receive this with gladness. Father, I come against every ounce of doubt, every ounce of fear. We bind it, all those contrary things, in the name of Jesus. We cast it out, and we release faith in this place, God. We release you to do what you want to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Someone say amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. I'll give you my title in just a moment, but in the 1960s and 70s, Timex ran a series of TV ads where they put their watches through torture tests to prove their durability. And it survived tests against different things like paint mixers, jackhammers, washing machines, dishwashers, and even a 87-foot dive off a cliff into the ocean. And after every test, the spokesman would repeat Timex's slogan. And the slogan was, it takes a licking and keeps on ticking. And I like that slogan so much, I decided to take the last part of it and preach on that today. Keep on ticking. Someone say, keep on ticking. Keep on ticking. The man that we're going to be studying and preaching from today and next week, named Jabez, was one who took a licking and keep on ticking, starting from the day that he was born. Most biblical figures just appear in the pages of Scripture without much detail about their birth or their childhood. But the Bible tells us about Jabez's beginning. And when you read this short passage, you'll see that he could not have gotten off to a worse start. I want to, for a few moments, walk you through the start of Jabez's life and why his witness, his story, is so profound. Scripture records that Jabez's mother said, I bore him in pain. And there are several things to note about this statement. First, she mentions the pain. Now, that may not seem like a big detail, but of course, pain is normal in childbirth. She had other children. She already knew the pain of childbirth. And so the fact that it mentions this, or the fact that she said it, would suggest to us that this was an unusual pain. What I mean by that is that this was an abnormal pain, or a pain that went beyond the expected pain that a mother in labor would experience. A different type of pain, perhaps a combination of pain, physical, emotional, or mental. Bible doesn't give us the details of what made this pain so extraordinary, but it was unusual. It suggests to us a pain that went beyond just the physical for these words to be recorded in Scripture. Secondly, whatever painful issue was happening was so intense that his mother named him Jabez, which means sorrowful. Sorrowful. Man, what a name, huh? Sorrowful. That's probably not one of those, you know, top five, top ten names that expecting parents would name their children, but whatever she was going through, whatever was occurring, whatever events were happening in their lives must have been so significant that she decided to mark the occasion, or at least emphasize that moment by naming her son Sorrowful. And I began to think about, with a name like Sorrowful, I cannot imagine what life must have been like for Jabez. With a name like Sorrowful, I can't imagine what it was like making friends when you find out that their name is Sorrowful. Brother Sorrowful. I can't imagine what it would have been like applying for a job. You write your name on the application. Right. Sorrowful. Who's going to hire that guy? There are a lot of things that I would imagine a name like Sorrowful would make life more difficult. Relationships, pretty much every aspect of his life with that kind of name, that would have been such a stigma that he had to carry, almost as if he had to explain himself to people. Like, my name is Sorrowful, but, you know, let me explain why. Like, most people don't have to do that, but with a name like that, you almost live your life apologetically. Like, there's a reason behind that, whatever it was. So there's another aspect, the fact that he was named Sorrowful. And lastly, and maybe even more importantly than all the other factors that I've mentioned, is that his mother was the one who named him. Now, according to Hebrew tradition, fathers were the ones who officially named their children. In fact, there's even records of mothers naming their children one thing and then the father renaming their child something else, and then that would be the legal name. So one could ask, where was dad? Was he not around? Did he die? Was he just a silent figure in the background? We don't know. But what we do know is that either way, the lack of his father's voice, who could have renamed him something else, would have had a profound effect on his life. We can dig into that if we'd like to, and think about all the psychological implications that there might be. Whether he was there or not, his voice wasn't prominent enough in his life to reverse this negative label that was placed on him. So when you add all these things up, when you look at the situation he was born into, the name that he was given, and the fact that there was not a figure in his life to come and maybe rescue him and redeem the situation, with all these odds stacked against Jabez, he could have easily become just another statistic. He could have easily become just another number, just another life that was relegated
to despair and live up to his name. Think about it. If all Jabez ever did was be sorrowful for the rest of his life, he would have at least lived up to his name. Nobody would have held it against him. Nobody would have said, well, Jabez, I mean, man, the guy has so much potential. The fact that if he turned out sorrowful, everyone would have kind of looked around and, well, that kind of makes sense. Nobody was really setting a high bar for this guy. Nobody was counting on him. Nobody was placing their bets on him. Oh, this guy's going somewhere. This Jabez, you know. With a name like Sorrowful, you're not going to win over too many people. With all these odds stacked against him, he could have easily chosen a life of sin, turned his back on God, pushed people away, and even lived with a constant chip on his shoulder, feeling judged all the time, condemned and by people who don't even know him. He could have lived his life like that and probably been justified in doing so and saying, hey, I didn't ask for any of this. I didn't ask to be born on this side of the tracks. I didn't ask to have this name. You know, I didn't ask for any of this. It was just, I inherited it. This is just the lot I was given. These are the hand that I was dealt. What am I supposed to do? And he could have just resigned himself to a life of sorrow and misery. But when we read the scripture, we see something. We see that somewhere along the way, we don't know where, we don't know when, we don't know what moment and what time in his life, but somewhere along the way, Jabez must have come to a place in his life where he made up in his mind that he was going to place his trust in God and put his life in God's hands and persevere. At some point in his life, he realized that I can either be another statistic, I can either be what everyone else thinks I'm going to be, I can either live up to those low expectations, or I can take a licking and keep on ticking. I can reach the purpose that God has over my life. And Jabez was a man who did exactly that. He overcame the odds. He overcame the odds. And he was an Old Testament believer with, I believe, a New Testament fruit of the Spirit. One of the most least talked about fruits of the Spirit is the fruit of long-suffering. You ever notice that's like the forgotten fruit? I'm growing in joy. I'm growing in peace. I'm growing in love. You don't ever hear somebody say, I want to grow in long-suffering. And it's interesting when you read newer translations of the Bible, because newer translations of Scripture replace the word long-suffering with a much nicer word, patience. Patience sounds a whole lot nicer than long-suffering, doesn't it? But can I tell you something? You can be patient, but it doesn't mean you're necessarily long-suffering. Patience is not the same thing as long-suffering. And the word long-suffering in the Bible is made up of two Greek words. And this is all relevant to Jabez's life. And I wanted to call this out so we can understand the mentality, the spirit in which this man was living in. Long-suffering is made up of two words, meaning long and temper. It literally means long-tempered. And it carries the idea of going through trouble without getting bitter or allowing it to destroy you. It carries this word picture, this image. This is the image that I want to put in your mind of long-suffering. It actually means to have a long fuse as opposed to a short fuse. Long-suffering is the gift of God. It's the fruit that gives you a longer fuse. A short fuse, when it's lit, blows up pretty fast. A long fuse, when it's lit, takes a long time for the bomb to go off. It's a long fuse. The opposite of long suffering is short suffering. Big revelation, right? It's a short fuse. And that is not what's going to keep you ticking. That's not what's going to help anybody level up in God, is you have a short fuse. Jabez, to live the life that God had destined for him, had to learn the art or the practice of long suffering. And this is a fruit of the Spirit. This is a part of Christian life. This is an area that we all, if live life long enough, will experience, and it's entirely up to us what we become at the end of our trials and our tribulations, at the end of our troubles. And there are three keys that, if you just give me a few moments today, I want to share with you that I believe Jabez demonstrates to us. Three keys to keep on ticking. The first key is perspective. Somebody say perspective. Perspective is one of the hardest things to find and maintain in the midst of hardship. One of the most valuable places, or I should say vulnerable, one of the most vulnerable places to be is when you don't know which way is up or which way is down. One of the most vulnerable places to be is when you are in some way disoriented or confused or misunderstanding what it is that is taking place in your life. When you're struggling to make sense of your situation, struggling to connect the dots in your life, struggling to understand why something is happening to you. And what I want to tell you today is that a lot of Christians think that the devil is only after your joy and your peace. But I want to inform you today that he's also after your perspective. The devil wants to distort the way that you see God and the way that you see yourself in his plan. If he can distort, if he can thwart, if he can darken your perspective, how you see your life and the circumstances that are beyond your control, in many ways he can dictate or influence your life and your decisions. Perspective is so important. It is one of the most important things that we cannot afford to lose in the midst of pain, problem, or trouble. We cannot lose perspective. Someone say, perspective. Perspective is a delicate thing. You can have it one day and lose it the next. Perspective is something that day after day you must renew your mind and ensure that you have a godly, healthy perspective. Amen, somebody. I said amen, somebody. It is something that you cannot put perspective on autopilot. You cannot put perspective on cruise control. You must take an active, intentional approach in your Christian walk to maintain a biblical, godly, healthy perspective about what is occurring in or around your life. Because if the devil can thwart your perspective, if he can taint your view of God or how you think God sees you, that in itself can set off a chain reaction of things in your life that can ultimately take you out of the will of God. And I came to encourage somebody this morning, the one thing that you cannot afford to lose in your pain, in your battle, in your trial, is your mind. Someone say, my mind. You cannot afford to lose your mind. This is the one reason that I believe that we see Jabez. The Bible says in verse 9, it says, but Jabez. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. I began to meditate upon that verse, and I thought about what was it that made Jabez more honorable. He was probably dealt the same hand as his brothers. He grew up in the same household as his brothers. possibly dealing with the same pain as them? Why did the Bible say that he was more honorable than his brothers? Why couldn't it just say Jabez was honorable? Period. Why did it have to say, and his brothers? As if to show us a comparison and show us that both him and his brothers were dealing with similar things in their life. But Jabez found greater honor. What was it about Jabez that found an honor that distinguished him from his brethren? I believe that it was because of his perspective that he had about God. He realized that despite everything going on in his life and the problem that affected his household, he had the approach that my life still matters. He had the mentality that he had a future and a calling that was worth fighting for. And I believe today that as I preach to you, there is somebody in this house that is having a mental battle within yourself about what route and approach you should take in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your struggle. But God sent me here today and tell you that you got to get your mind back and you got to retake those thoughts and retake and count. My God, hallelujah. I can imagine Jabez was battling in his mind. I can imagine there was a tug of war between what thoughts he ought to feed and what thoughts he ought to starve. But he ultimately took authority over every wild and worrying thought that came to sabotage his mind and plague his future. The Bible tells us this when Paul writes in Philippians 6, can I preach like I want to today? He said in Philippians 6, 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, someone say true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Hallelujah. We've got to get to a place in our life, because we got to get to a place in our Christian life, in a place in our relationships, in a place in our walk with God, where we start taking control and command over our thoughts and over the things that come into our mind, because the one thing you cannot afford to lose is your perspective. I want to tell you how to get the right honor. And let me tell you how you do it. The right perspective comes by replacing dishonorable thoughts with honorable ones. You replace it with honorable ones. You need to tell yourself what to think. Let me put it to you this way. You need to start thinking about what you're thinking about. Come on now. That's just plain. I'm just trying to keep it plain right there for somebody. You need to think about what you're thinking about so you don't lose perspective and realize that, wait a minute, God is much bigger and greater than everything that I'm going through. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the... And you know what's part of that world? You. Y'all forgot that song, didn't you? Amen. Hallelujah. He's got you in that world. So why should I worry? Why should I fret? Why should I allow my mind to get all confused and disjointed? And why should I panic? Why should I freak out? Why should I throw in the towel when God's got everything under his control? I can lift up my eyes to the hill and see the help that comes from the Lord. Clap your hands and give God some praise today. You got to start casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Say, get over here, little thought. The devil's a liar. Get over here. Bring it to captivity. Come back. Reel it in. He said, no, this is not God's purpose for me. No. Don't get blind. Don't allow things to rob you of your perspective. So this is the first thing. I got to roll here with the next point, because the next key, hallelujah, is praise. Someone say praise. In order to see how praise was a key for Jabez, You have to zoom out and look at the entire context. Jabez's story appears in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. This is an important chapter in 1 Chronicles. Now, in all these chapters, both before and after, are listing the descendants of different tribes of Israel. The different tribes. There was 12 in total. And in this particular chapter, in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, records all the descendants of Judah. And guess where Jabez was? He came from the tribe of Judah. And that name Judah is special because it means praise. Someone say praise. Praise. Judah was a special tribe because they were the ones who made music and led the people of God in worship. They were the ones who were responsible for offering up praise to God. And they were not just the music department of Israel. They were also strategic in warfare, because most times when the armies of Israel would go into battle, God would instruct the tribe of Judah to go first in front of all the 11 tribes. They were on the front lines of battle. They just didn't play harps and flutes, man. These were warriors. Amen. These were people of battle. These were people who were full of boldness and courage. And so the praisers, someone say the praisers. The praisers were out on the front lines, and they went ahead of the armies. And when the enemy saw the armies of Israel coming, and all the tribes of Judah with their worship and their singing and their instruments, you know what it would do to their enemies? It would confuse them. They were mystified, baffled that these praisers were in the front. And what it did for the people of God, it gave them the element of surprise. The enemies were confused. They didn't know what to expect. Here comes these worshipers and praisers, and it knocked them off balance. So that when the armies of Israel came in, and we know that it was the hand of God that was moving upon them, God would give them the victory. But God also wanted his people to know a fundamental about living for him. That it's not by power and it's not by might, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. God wants us to understand that the key to keep on ticking, the key to keep on making it, the key to victory is not in how knowledgeable you are, it's not in how strong you are, it's not in what your name is, it's can you praise him in the midst of it all. And when you learn how to, my God, hallelujah, when you learn how to praise God, and praise is a part of who you are, that's your natural response. Jabez had praise flowing in his DNA. It was flowing in his veins. He came from a long line of praisers. He was surrounded by a people with the praise first mentality, surrounded by a people who knew how to rejoice in the midst of trouble, knew how to rejoice in the midst of warfare. Well, God sent me here today, this afternoon, to encourage somebody who finds himself in the middle of a problem of pain and struggle. I come to encourage you and tell you, like David said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. There is something you need to know today, that if you become a praise first Christian, the devil will never be able to rob you of your joy, of your peace, of your future. I wonder if there's somebody today that can give God a praise. I wonder if there's somebody under the sound of my voice that can shout hallelujah, that can bless his name, that can say thank you, Jesus. Come on, somebody, can you give God the praise? He is worthy of all the glory and all the honor. Paul taught these words, and he taught the words. He said, be filled with the Spirit, speaking, because one of the signs that you're really filled with the Spirit is that you will be speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Paul was a witness to the power of praise. Paul was a witness in Acts chapter 16 when he and Silas were there chained up in that Philippian jail. My God, I want to preach here today. You can come on up here, brother. I'm almost done. He was there in that Philippian jail, and all of a sudden the Bible says at midnight, Paul and Silas began to sing praises unto God. Oh, despite the fact that they were bound, despite the fact that they were hurting, despite the fact that they were persecuted, they began to lift up their voices in the midnight hour and began to sing glorious songs unto God and began to pray. And the Bible says that at midnight, as they prayed, suddenly the foundations of the prison were shaken by an earthquake. I want to tell you that when you begin to praise God, you begin to attract the presence of God. God, my Lord, the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. If you want more of God, I've got the answer for you. Learn how to lift up your voice. Learn how to lift up your hands. Learn how to shout hallelujah anyhow. Doesn't matter what I'm going through. Doesn't matter what I feel. I've got to praise him anyhow. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Yeah, my God. I don't know where it was when Jabez got that revelation. I don't know if it was in the midnight hour. I don't know if it was somewhere by himself. I don't know if it was when he was crying himself to sleep. But all I know is that something changed in his mentality. Jabez probably had an aha moment. He probably had a turnaround moment. He probably figured, I can spend the rest of my life complaining about what's wrong. Oh my God, I want to preach today. I can spend the rest of my life saying, woe is me. And if you only knew what I've been through, I can spend the rest of my life blaming everybody for my problems, blaming the pastor, blaming my friend, blaming my coworker, blaming my deal. I can spend the rest of my life here. But Jabez must have got a revelation. He said, hold up, wait a minute. I am from the tribe of Judah. I am a praiser on the inside. And so for that reason, I refuse to stay where I am. Oh, I wonder if somebody hears me today. I said, I wonder if somebody is hearing me today. Are you going to spend the rest of your life feeling sorry for yourself? The rest of your life waiting for a pat on the back, waiting for somebody to, you know, make feel sorry for you? Or are you going to lift up your voice and say, I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. I will give him a song in the night. I wish somebody would just magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Let us exalt his name together. Let us exalt his name together. I wonder right now where you are, if you can just call the devil a liar. You can shut the mouth of the devil right now. You can shut the mouth of every lie, every dysfunction, every fear, every, my God, you can shut it down simply by opening up your mouth, simply by giving God the praise. They say, I will bless his name. I will bless him. I will bless him. People say, Pastor, you are old school. Pastor, we are more dignified than that. Pastor, we don't make that kind of noise. Pastor, it's the 21st century. The devil is a liar. From the time that I learned how to talk, I learned how to praise. From the time I learned how to walk, I learned how to jump. This is who I am, and I'm not going to change for nobody. I am a praiser. Is there anybody else out there with me today? I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost. I don't know what it is that's holding some of you back. I don't know what it is that's stopping you. But there is something happening right now. Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God, my God. I feel something happening. The Bible says the third key, I tell you, was the key of prayer. As I finish, the key of prayer, he began to pray. Jabez called out to God. Next week, I'm going to preach about the contents of the prayer. But for right now, I just want to emphasize on the fact that he prayed. Oh, my God, that he prayed. He called on God. He called on him. He called out about, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. He called on him. He called on him. He called on him. He got into his prayer room. He put a sign on the door that said, do not disturb. And he called on God. He called on him. And he came before God humbly. He came before God desperate. I want to tell you something, that there is something about this prayer that really got into my spirit. There's something about this prayer that really got a hold of me. Even if Jabez had turned out all right, even if he did not become a failure for the rest of his life, even if he just lived an average life, you know, maybe he didn't have to pray the way that he did. If he just took a couple of self-improvement courses, if he just read a couple of self-help books, he might have just made it all right. But I've come to announce into somebody's heart today that Jesus didn't come all the way down here and go to the cross for us just so that you can live an average life. He came so that you can level up, my friend. He came so that you can live an above average life. He came that you would be the head and not the tail. He came that you would be above it but not beneath. He came that you would rise up.